It's good to see and have Brother John back with us again, and now we look to him now to lead our thoughts to the emblems. Brother John, please.
An American comedian, Fred Allen, who died in 1956, once said, "I like long walks, particularly when they're taken by people I don't like." One of his other famous quotations is, "I always have trouble remembering three things, faces, names, and I can't remember what the third one is." So, how do you remember things? At the moment, I find remembering things particularly difficult, and I have to make lists of everything that I need to do. Classic memory training courses teach us to construct pictures, to remember things, and associate objects in probably quite unusual ways, but always using something that we know we will see, which is then designed to trigger our memory of the picture we had imagined. For instance, if I knew that I'd got to ring Brother Mike tomorrow, I'd probably conjure a picture of him sitting on my kettle holding the phone. Then when I went downstairs in the morning to make a cup of coffee, I'd see the kettle and it would make me recall the image of him sitting on it with the phone. I hope that makes sense. Well, people that train themselves to remember long lists of objects do it by linking the objects together in pictures. And it doesn't matter how unrealistic or imaginary the pictures are, because by remembering the first item, the chain of the pictures is triggered. It's unlocked, and the whole of the list can be remembered. And that's how people train themselves to remember long lists. Well, real pictures or word pictures are a wonderful way of helping us to remember things. And God, of course, knew the way that our minds work, which is why he inspired the writers of the Bible to write in the way that they did. The Bible gives us some great word pictures, doesn't it? We know that Jesus, in his parables, was probably using visual aids, in that he probably used things that he could see as the basis, at least, of some of the parables. And I guess the classic example is the parable of the sower. But even when Jesus wasn't describing something that he could actually see, he used word pictures to get his point across. There is a saying, which is of uncertain origin, that a picture paints 1,000 words, or a picture is worth 1,000 words. Just imagine how many words would have been needed to explain who our neighbour is when Jesus used the parable of the Good Samaritan. And yet, through that very, very vivid word picture, Jesus made his point perfectly clear to his listeners, and the implications of what he said must have cut them to the quick. Of course, by the same token, there are word pictures in the Bible that leave us puzzled, and perhaps we wish sometimes that we weren't just given word pictures, but a full explanation, so that we could properly understand what it is we're being told. And I'm thinking, of course, primarily of the book of Revelation. In Zechariah in chapter 8, we have a word picture. "Thus says the Lord of hosts, old men and old women shall again sit in the streets of Jerusalem, each one with his staff in his hand, because of great age. The streets of the city shall be full of boys and girls playing in its streets." It's a lovely image, isn't it? But is it a picture of the kingdom? The reference to the old men and old women needing a staff or walking stick, which appears to be the idea behind the Hebrew word for staff, it gives the idea of support, gives us a bit of a problem if we think it's of the kingdom. But it does seem to me that when we look at the rest of this chapter and see it in context, Zechariah was prophesying after some of the Jews had returned from Babylon, but probably before much restoration work was done. So the prophecy about God bringing his people back to the land seems to have a dual fulfilment. There are elements of that chapter that would have been fulfilled every time the Jews returned in numbers to their land. But there are also elements that have not been fulfilled yet. In verse 3 it says, "Thus says the Lord, I will return to Zion and dwell in the midst of Jerusalem. Jerusalem shall be called the city of truth, the mountain of the Lord of hosts, the holy mountain." And so it seems to me that the old men and women needing a stick for support are actually probably mortal people in the kingdom. So what a lovely picture of the kingdom that is. The elderly and the children, the two most vulnerable groups of any society, are safe. And whilst it doesn't explicitly say so, I always like to think that the elderly men and women are actually sitting watching the children play. And so what I want to think about for a few minutes this morning is the idea of word pictures and the kingdom. So thinking about the question that I asked at the beginning, how do you remember? And more particularly, how do you remember the great promise of the kingdom? Because we are given all of these word pictures to make the kingdom seem real to us, to make it more than just an abstract idea. God knows how finite our minds are, and how difficult or probably impossible it would be for us to comprehend the wonders that he has promised. And so a lot of the word pictures of the kingdom are designed so that we can compare the kingdom with what our current experience is. So perhaps as we think of the word pictures of the kingdom, we also are designed to think or guided to think about a picture of the state that exists in the world now, so that we can draw the contrast from it. So have you thought yet about what your favourite word picture of the kingdom is? I remember a brother from the Halford Bridge meeting where I grew up always quoting from Psalm 72 in his prayers. He was primarily an arable farmer, and so he always in his prayers quoted these words: "There will be an abundance of grain in the earth, on the top of the mountains. Its fruit shall wave like Lebanon." And I guess as an arable farmer, that was his image of the kingdom. There would be no more starvation. The earth would bring forth plentifully. And just thinking about Psalm 72, there are so many other word pictures in that psalm. It talks about true justice for all. It talks about the majesty of God and the righteousness that will exist. It talks about the needy being delivered. And those are all things that don't exist in this world today. Well, maybe it's the word pictures in Isaiah chapter 2 that you find inspire you. We have the word picture of armaments being turned into peaceful implements, the swords into ploughshares, the tanks into tractors. Or is it the idea of Isaiah chapter 2 of going up to the house of the Lord to be taught of his ways? Or when we hear these words from Isaiah chapter 9, "Unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given. The government will be upon his shoulder. His name will be called Wonderful, Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Of the increase of his government and peace there will be no end, upon the throne of David and over his kingdom, to order it and establish it with judgment and with justice from that time forward even forever." And so perhaps it's those words that give us encouragement to keep on keeping on. Or maybe the nature lovers amongst us think of the wild and domestic animals lying in peace with each other, as talked about in Isaiah chapter 11. Just think about the contrast here. At the moment, the domestic animals, if they lay with wild animals, would be in pieces. They wouldn't be in peace. So perhaps we think of those lovely words, "They shall not hurt nor destroy in all my holy mountain, for the earth shall be full of the knowledge of the Lord as the waters cover the sea." Or perhaps for some of you it is the beautiful chapter Isaiah 35, with its word pictures of the blossoming desert, the blind seeing, the lame walking, the deaf hearing. And maybe those verses from Isaiah 35 are particularly meaningful to us as individuals if we can't see very well, walk very well, or hear very well. Because for some of us, the promise of healing is very real. I remember about 30 years ago, a brother who was in a wheelchair asking me to make him a promise when we were at Broadway Tower in the Cotswolds for the day. I grew up not far from there. He came from Leamington. And he would have been younger, quite a bit younger than I am now. When I asked him what the promise was, he said, "John, I want you to promise that in the kingdom you will walk these hills with me." Well, if I'm honest, that hope meant nothing to me because it was something I could do whenever I wanted. But I've never forgotten how earnest he was and how much that hope really, really meant to him. He's only recently fallen asleep, and so in God's grace, at his next waking moment, he will actually be able to walk those hills. But perhaps if I had to pick just one verse above any other in Scripture, it would be, "God shall wipe away every tear from their eyes. There shall be no more death, nor sorrow, nor crying. There shall be no more pain, for the former things have passed away." And so these word pictures summarise our great hope. Maybe I haven't mentioned your favourite, but whatever your favourite picture is, that is the picture that you need to keep in front of you. Remember that Jesus said, "No one having put his hand to the plough and looking back is fit for the kingdom of God." The ploughman was heading for a mark on the opposite side of the field. That's how ploughmen keep their furrows straight. He was heading directly towards his vision. And we need to do exactly the same. But all of these things are only possible because of the mercy, grace, and love of the Lord God and of his Son, the Lord Jesus. And so we now come to think about God's great provision, recognising again our frail memories. God recognised that remembering Jesus would be difficult without us seeing something. And so we remember Jesus in bread and in wine. We need to remember that in the first century, the brothers and sisters would have met in each other's homes. They would have always had bread and wine available. They would have broken bread whenever they were together. They would have always had these items of remembrance in front of them to remind them constantly of what Jesus had done. And so we come to share bread and wine as we share our common hope. And as we do so, let us remember him that made all of these things possible and let us keep the vision of the kingdom, whatever our favourite picture is, burning brightly in front of us. But perhaps the final word picture that we need to think about as we come to eat bread and drink wine is the picture that Isaiah portrayed in Isaiah 53. Who has believed our report? And to whom has the arm of the Lord been revealed? For he shall grow up before him as a tender plant, and as a root out of dry ground. He has no form or comeliness, and when we see him there is no beauty that we should desire him. He is despised and rejected by men, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. And we hid, as it were, our faces from him. He was despised, and we did not esteem him. Surely he has borne our griefs and carried our sorrows, yet we esteemed him stricken, smitten by God and afflicted. But he was wounded for our transgressions, he was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement for our peace was upon him, and by his stripes we are healed. All we, like sheep, have gone astray. We have turned every one to his own way, and the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all. He was oppressed and he was afflicted, yet he opened not his mouth. He was led as a lamb to the slaughter, and as a sheep before its shearers is silent, so he opened not his mouth. He was taken from prison and from judgment, and who will declare his generation? For he was cut off from the land of the living. For the transgressions of my people he was stricken, and they made his grave with the wicked, but with the rich at his death, because he had done no violence, nor was any deceit in his mouth. Yet it pleased the Lord to bruise him. He has put him to grief. When you make his soul an offering for sin, he shall see his seed. He shall prolong his days, and the pleasure of the Lord shall prosper in his hand. He shall see the labour of his soul and be satisfied. By his knowledge, my righteous servant shall justify many. For he shall bear their iniquities. Therefore I will divide him a portion with the great, and he shall divide the spoil with the strong, because he poured out his soul unto death, and he was numbered with the transgressors. And he bore the sin of many, and made intercession for the transgressors. And so we come to remember Jesus in these images of bread and wine.